Frank, Hayes, and JJ.
Hit it!
It's time for The Frangie Show on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I got a drug, brand new drug, Frangie Carline La Selva, and that is we are 2 days away. Does the draft, the pre-draft period go longer and longer every year, or does it just feel that way?
It feels that way, yeah.
It does, yeah.
It also was hurt in the sense that there weren't as many blockbusters in the league trade-wise as there were a year ago. So there wasn't as much to deter us from the draft process. You also have guys that, you know, are electing not to do anything. So that's going to be a couple storylines that, you know, that don't materialize because nothing's happening. So, yeah, I think it's been a fairly boring draft process in terms of leading up to it. Now we'll see. Maybe the last 48 hours will be, you know, tremendous. But yeah, I mean, I think it's time for it to get here. And I think you're going to see this. I think it's going to be less and less compelling because the process is too long and athletes are now saying, I'm not going to participate in a lot of this stuff. So I'll be interested to see if the league adjusts to that and maybe moves the draft up. But it's got such a sweet spot. There's nothing really competing with it. For this weekend, you've got, you know, early NBA, NHL playoffs. There's no golf tournament of significance. So, I do think it's going to be a problem for the draft to stay, in terms of the process, really fascinating. But once we get to the actual night of it, I don't know that there's very many bigger events in sports.
Yeah, you are one step ahead of me. I'm going to get to the whole should they move it up, should they not, and reasons why you wouldn't. But we'll certainly talk some draft today, and that's going to be a lot of fun. So we're getting closer and closer. I almost sent you this today on Twitter. And begged you to put it in the headlines. I should have done this.
Okay.
Because it belongs in the headlines. But I don't know why, because it's not really news.
That's never stopped me before.
It's a very good point. Somebody had on Twitter a live version of Phil Collins singing In the Air Tonight. Did you see this?
Really?
It's old.
Okay, maybe. I've seen that before, but it may not have been the specific one.
Anyway, it's just fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it shows him, you know, he does the drum solo.
Right,
I mean it's him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's starting out singing, going with a mic. He's not at the drums. Some other dude's at the drums, but then at the end he sits down and does. It's just spectacular. I said this belongs in headlines. Let's make up. Can we make up news? Fake news.
There's always something
fake news
going on with Phil Collins.
Yeah, yes, right.
There's got to be an album anniversary or a birthday.
Or you could connect that to the Hall & Oates lawsuit.
I don't know, just something.
Couldn't you just listen to this for like 2 hours?
Yeah.
Just sit back.
It would be cool to see this live.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Yeah. I've got to show you this one. It's so good.
Okay.
So good.
Sounds great.
Well done, JJ.
Maybe it's the anniversary of The Hangover.
Yeah.
You know, you could play this song.
Or just make it up.
You know,
it's from 2004, by the way.
You saw it then, right?
This is what we're listening to right now.
Okay, yeah. So you gotta see it. It's from 2004. It's exactly right. So it is. It is just fantastic. So, just make up some news.
I can do that.
Just do something. Lot to get to today.
Maybe Joan Collins. Maybe something happened with Joan Collins that we can turn into a Phil Collins.
Is Joan Collins alive still?
I think Joan Collins is still
alive. Got to be 90, right?
Maybe even 100.
Got to be somewhere between 90 and 100.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark has a new deal. Good for Caitlin Clark. A new Nike deal. I got a thought or two about that. JJ, are you locked into the NBA yet or no?
Oh my God. I wasn't. I mean, the games this weekend were like so terrible that I was turned off, but I stayed up, and it was an amazing night of basketball. I honestly only caught like the last 10 minutes of the Sixers game, and that was all I needed to watch.
Right.
And the entire Lakers-Nuggets game was off the chain.
You stayed up?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Murray hit the game winner.
Yeah, we're actually going to make Take Flight history today.
I love history. Wait a minute. You're telling me there's a chance we get Phil Collins and Take Flight history in
yes.
the same program?
Yes, absolutely.
You know what? I'm just going to sit back and listen, okay?
Because we're going to have, for the first time ever, in our Take Flight moment of the week.
NBA? The association?
Well, that's true, but that's not why it's... The real history is... that it's the first time we'll have two highlights in the same take flight moment.
Well, you're going double
headlight.
I mean, have you run this by the FAA? Yeah.
I ran it by the Wallflowers, who have one headlight.
Okay.
And I said, what if we have two highlights?
I love
and
this.
And they said they would not sue us.
This is, I love it.
Speaking
love
of the FAA, did you see the Rockies are under investigation?
I did.
Because they had their hitting coach sitting up front with the pilot, like, I just assume this sort of happens on, like, every team flight. You're a guy who takes a lot of team flights, Frank.
I'm assuming
you've sat in the cockpit.
This is Hensley Mullins. Did you see the story, Hayes? He's talking about Hensley Mullins. Bam Bam. Remember, he's calling Bam Bam. Hensley Mullins sat up there. Here's the thing. Miraculously, I have not been in the cockpit
yet.
You know,
going to change this season.
I don't know if Pacelli, Logman have been up there, but I have not been in the cockpit. But, yeah, the FAA is investigating the Rockies because Hensley Mullins tweeted a picture from the cockpit. I mean,
Do you like gladiator movies?
Oh, goodness. So there is that. A lot of things to get to today. Is it true? And I was with a buddy earlier today, and I don't know if this is true or not, but you're two of my dear friends, so I'm going to ask both of you guys to weigh in on this. Someone pointed out to me, the audacity, by the way, this guy to point out this to me today. But it pointed out, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I can count on you to confirm the truth. Can I not?
Sure.
Someone pointed out that once the Pirates went on that 8-game losing streak, I didn't talk about them as much on air. That's not true.
I noticed that.
It's
draft week.
It's draft week. Yeah. I mean, we got Portal.
Right.
I got Todd Golden. I'm talking to the ball coach. Mm-hmm. I can't bring up baseball all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, people don't love baseball. That's not on me.
I just figured you had gotten sick of winning, and they were still winning, but you were sick of it, and so you weren't mentioning it.
Oh, God. Hey, Frank, guess you don't talk about that baseball
It would
anymore,
be dude. Selfish of you to do that.
Yeah.
What happened?
I'm assuming they're still in first.
No, we are actually in fourth.
Fourth?
Okay, yeah. We are now 12-11. The Pirates are. Lost eight in a row, or eight out of nine, six
oh,
in a row,
wow.
eight out of nine. The Brewers, Cubs, and Reds are all ahead, ahead of the Cardinals, who suddenly aren't very good.
Remember when he said he would take that 82 games?
I did. Yeah, yes.
I think you'd probably take 72.
Yes, I would. So suddenly we're one game over, 12-11.
They won last night.
Yeah, after starting first, had lost six in a row.
Wow.
But the good thing is what you don't want to do is bring up Paul Skeens too early, who I think has struck out every batter he's faced in AAA. You don't want to make that mistake.
That's amazing.
So, some guy said that, hey, right. Jason, don't talk about that baseball as much anymore. I'm just saying that kind of happened. We'll talk some draft today. We definitely want to do that today. Our shout out today, by the way, will be who should they take? I mean, everybody's talked about it. Everyone's got a mock of sorts. But the shout out today is going to be who should they take, and we want you to weigh in on that. Denny Thompson will join us really by phone. He told us something interesting. I think he's actually on the golf course today with Austin Reed. He made a good point. I get it. This is the hardest week for those guys because now you're just waiting. And is Austin, and I'll ask Denny this, and I guess I can ask him if he's with Austin, but I am curious. Is Austin Reed getting drafted for sure, Hayes?
For sure is always a hard, but I would say it's
Saturday, midday Saturday.
I would say he's a sixth, seventh round guy.
So late Saturday.
And I would put it, in terms of him getting drafted, I would put it at like 85% that he gets drafted.
Because I've watched enough tape. Part of it's because Denny's our buddy and the buddy of the radio station, and I think he's pretty good. I mean, he's pretty good. I will say this, and I've told this story a lot of times on air and off air, and Hayes, you know this. When Graham Mertz was going to transfer to Florida from Wisconsin, and everybody hated him, it was terrible, 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 terrible. So I started watching the tape, and I came back and told you, Hayes, the guy's actually pretty good, because I just watched it, and I really, that happened all last year. So I've watched a lot of tape of Austin Reed, not just because what Denny said. He's pretty good. Have you watched much of him?
I have not.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's going to be taken in the NFL draft. Of course, he's pretty good. But I'm just saying, my point is, watching the tape from Western Kentucky, it's better than I expected. He looks like a guy that can play quarterback in the NFL. And Denny's always told us that, but I'm telling you, that's what I've gathered by watching.
Yeah, so looking at Dane Brugler's beast, he's got Austin Reed's projection somewhere sixth, seventh round. So
what you said.
Yeah, so he believes he'll get selected. One thing that really benefits Austin in terms of trends in the league is Brock Purdy is now become a player and a story that other teams are looking to emulate. And the strength of Brock Purdy coming out of college was his experience, how many games he had played at the collegiate level. It's why you've seen some Bo Nix fans, some Michael Penix fans lobbying even harder for them because of all their vast experience. Well, with Austin, I mean, you get 51 starts. You get somebody who's thrown for over 15,500 yards, 149 touchdowns passing with 22 rushing. So that's why he's going to get selected, because some team is certainly going to buy. I mean, I think many would, but one team probably in the sixth round is going to say, look, you know, we need some competition in our backup spots, and we want to bring in somebody. They're not going to get a ton of reps with us because obviously we've got to get our starter ready. So we need somebody that's played a ton of football. And Austin Reed would certainly qualify. So, I can't imagine there's very many quarterbacks in this draft that have thrown more than 1,941 passes,
yeah,
which is what he has. So
that's right.
So
that's
that right. Helps him, because the Brock Purdy success story is going to help Austin Reed in terms of teams looking, being willing to look beyond the measurables and say, you know what, this guy's got a ton of experience, he's got a ton of production, and we're going to take him and see if we can develop something out of him.
Yeah, so hopefully he will. So we'll certainly talk about that. But Denny's with Austin today. They're playing golf, just trying to kind of kill the time, and so we'll get to that. I got a lot of things I want to talk about today on the program. The Celtics, I think, JJ, obviously they're one of the two favorites, right? The Nuggets and the Celtics are the expected.
Absolutely.
Who are the bluest of the blue bloods in sports? And we always talk about the teams. But Yankees, Cowboys, Lakers, Celtics, whoever, what is the list? What's the order? And what is the significance of them being good? I'm going to get to that later on in the program. I think it's an interesting topic, so we'll touch on that coming up later on in the program as well. I do have an opinion on the Caitlin Clark deal, and I want to really get to that. We've talked a lot about her while the NCAA basketball, women's basketball tournament was going on, so we certainly talked about that. I want to get to that. Our shout, as I told you, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, who do you think they should take? I want to get to the draft in just a second. Hayes, I also want to focus on area receivers today. I think it's a very intriguing draft. Keon Coleman, everyone's talking about him now. Ricky Pearsall, Johnny Wilson, Brock Bowers, Ladd McConkey, and I know Bowers is a tight end, but I'm putting the pass catchers in there together. That's an intriguing group, isn't it? I mean, receivers from around here, all of whom might be really good NFL players. I'm probably less convinced on Johnny Wilson than the other four, maybe, but we'll get this coming up in this hour. But I think it's an intriguing list of receivers that our little area here is gonna send to the league.
Yeah, you've got Javon Baker as well from UCF.
Correct.
So I mean, yeah, it's I never thought about that, but that's a great point. There is a lot of local flavor to this incredibly deep receiving
core. Of good players.
Oh, yeah.
If you throw Brock Bowers in, I know he's a tight end, but for the sake of this conversation, if you throw him into it, there's a lot of good players that are going to be catching passes in the NFL from around here.
And I think Johnny Wilson's going to go like two rounds higher than everybody thinks. I say everybody. It seems like the consensus is that Johnny Wilson is going to go somewhere in the fifth round, you know, somewhere in there. I think some club is going to view him as a tight end and
right. A
potential phenomenal tight end, and I think he's going to get selected more for that. But again, we're counting Bowers too, so whether you count Wilson as a tight end or a receiver, he is somebody that I think is going to get drafted ahead. If the over-under on Johnny Wilson is fifth round, I would absolutely say he gets selected in the first four because of that height and speed combo. And certainly there's weaknesses to his game, but I think as a move tight end, he would be very intriguing when you're talking about starting that Saturday round when you've already got the first three rounds in the book. So, but certainly Keon Coleman, Ricky Pearsall, McConkey, it is very deep, and you know I think they're expecting about 20 receivers to go off the board
right.
in the first three rounds. So, again, it is a position that we know the Jaguars are certainly looking at. It's one in which if you're patient, you know, you will probably be rewarded. And if you're the Jaguars with that, you know, comp third pick, you know, in the 90s, that might be a good spot to get some sensational value at receiver.
Yeah, it's a very interesting draft. All right, so let's start with this. The draft seems perfectly situated in terms of keeping the NFL in the news, right? It's perfectly situated. There's nothing else. It's not the Masters is over. The PGA isn't coming up yet, and the U.S. Open's the next one everyone pays attention to. That's way down the road. The NBA playoffs are there, but I don't think the NFL's ever been scared of that. The NCAA basketball tournament, the Final Four is behind us. So it's to keep the NFL in the news, it is perfectly positioned. The last thing you'd want to do is make it further back, but you are one step ahead of me. Would we be better served, would the league be better served if the draft was earlier? I mean, do they really need all this evaluation time? Because it seems like to me they don't. Now again, I understand from a league calendar, notoriety, television ratings, keep you in the news all 12 months for the most part, it makes sense. But it does, if they had this thing first week of March, before March Madness, I mean before the tournament.
Before free agency.
Before free agency, better or worse for the league in your opinion?
I think from a publicity standpoint, it would be worse because of what we're talking about. Then once you got beyond the first wave of free agency, rosters would pretty much be set and the league would either have to come up with something else, which would be very difficult because the collective bargaining agreement isn't going to change. Players aren't going to just say, yeah, we'll show up for an extra month of work so that you guys have stories that you know people can write about and talk about. So from a publicity standpoint, it wouldn't make sense. From just a going about your business standpoint, they could certainly do it. I'm sure that would be a welcome change and you know for some people. The only thing I will say is that with the college season now expanding,
yeah,
and you're having more playoff games, you might
you're
need
right.
it to stay where it is because
right.
you do have to get in. You know, for guys that have played in a bunch of games, if their team went deep in the playoffs, they're going to need time. I mean, they're probably not going to do anything at the combine. They're going to need time to get ready for a pro
day. That's a fair point. Fair
so point. I would say because of where college football's going with its schedule, they are probably good on the timeline of it. But I do think we're going to have a lot of years like this draft where we're sitting there 2 weeks before the draft saying, I don't know what else to say about this draft.
Yeah, well, and not just from a media standpoint, but even from a fan standpoint, I don't know what else to ask anymore. I think every fan by now has done their mock. You know, everyone that does a mock has done their mock. I just your point's a very good one. The first priority is what's best for the procurement of players, and that's A. B, and maybe A minus, right behind it, is what's best for the exposure of the league, television ratings, dollars, and hell, that might even be ahead of it. But those are the two, regardless of how you rank those two. And I get that. It just seems to me it's agonizing for the players for it to be this late. It's agonizing for the fans. It just seems to me the pre-draft period seems to drag. And who loves the NFL and loves football and doesn't love the draft? We all do. We'll wake up Thursday morning in a good mood.
Absolutely.
Thursday afternoon, we can't wait to get going. All of our shows will be very busy. We've got a lot of people down there covering the draft. Jeff, Tony, and I will have our network show 8 to 12. By the way, Hacker will be here sitting in with you because I won't be doing this show because I'll be doing the network show at night.
Buckle up.
Oh, boy. Hayes and Hacker. Yeah. Boy, I buried the lead.
Yeah.
You know, talk about burying the lead. Mm-hmm. That was not my best moment.
I would say it's kind of like combining the Legion of Doom and Demolition.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. Okay. Okay. But I'm in total agreement with that. So but we're all excited about it, Hayes, and I know we're all excited. And I can't wait for it. But gosh, it seems like I think I would have felt 2 weeks ago I was ready for the draft. I guess that's the point.
See,
March Madness comes about when I'm ready for it. The Super Bowl's dragged out, but the Super Bowl's fine. I mean, because you need the playoffs to get there, and I've always liked the 2 weeks. You know, the World Series. JJ, would you like the World Series earlier, or is it you okay with middle
of October? No, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with the World Series.
If you start the World Series earlier, then you got to start the season earlier.
Correct.
And it's already pretty damn early.
I agree. So I think for the most part, it just and Hayes, we've had this talk 1,000 times, you and I have, about the recruiting calendar, and we all sort of miss signing day being in February. I mean, there is one in February, but I now know I pushed forever for an August sign. I never pushed for a December. I pushed hard for an August so high school kids could, if they did not want to be bothered. Senior year is precious, man.
It is.
A senior year, and so they didn't want to be bothered by during their what could be a precious senior year. Sign with the Gators or the Crimson Tide or the Bulldogs or the Noles on August 15th and then go enjoy your senior year.
Right.
Now, coaches hate that because that means they've got to recruit over the summer. And the summer is their getaway time. And I understand that. And coaches have always hated it for that reason. But now that we have the December date, I don't like it. It just seems like it comes out of nowhere. It slaps you upside the head. I'm not ready for it. And then come February, when I was ready for it, it doesn't really exist.
It does kind of make sense now with the portal the way it is to just take away the December signing day because none of this really matters anyway.
Right, the portal. That's right.
Yeah,
that's,
and just make it back to February. It would be better for the sport. It would get way more people interested and excited about recruiting again. And again, because the portal is so prevalent, these kids are never going to not be recruited now.
Right.
I mean, until there's a collective bargaining agreement and these players are signing contracts out of high school, you're going to get recruited every day of your life, no matter what your situation is. If you're a good player, teams are going to tamper, particularly now because it's not illegal. And, you know, no one's ever going to get caught. They're basically, the NCAA can't investigate anything. So you'd be a complete moron to self-report anything. So the only way that you're going to actually, there really is no way to get caught as long as you're not going to self-report a violation, which I don't know why anybody would. So in looking at it, why not take the December signing away completely, just go back to February, because these letters of intent have become more meaningless with each passing year. Somebody can sign a letter of intent in February and enter the portal in April. I mean, it's just how the world is. So until that is brought into some sort of governance through unionizing in a collective bargaining agreement, what's the point anyway?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it'd be better for the sport to move it back to February. And, you know, again, for these athletes, I don't know that it gives them that much of a break from the pressure when they sign December 20th.
Yeah, and by the way, for people that don't know, we didn't even talk about this, and maybe it's in your notes today, but we didn't even talk about this. Yesterday, the NCAA D1 board, you probably saw this, rubber stamped what we already know, and that is now athletes can transfer an unlimited amount of times without penalty forever.
Yeah.
That means you, every year college football is all about, it's all free agents.
You could transfer 7 times.
Yeah.
Let's say you signed with a school.
That's right.
And then left after a semester, and then went to your new school, left after a semester. I mean, you could, theoretically do it 7-8 times.
You're going to see a lot of guys play for 4 schools. I mean, I think it'll be more common than you think. The four school guy. There'll damn sure be a lot of 3 school guys.
The thing that they need to do a better job of getting out there in terms of the information is players that are entering the portal and never getting out of it because no one wants them.
Yeah.
And it's like,
well, that's right.
That's the thing that I would say. You know, be careful with that, because when you enter the portal, unless you're a star, I mean, obviously, you're a star, but if you're a star, you've already been given your financial guarantee. You know, you've already been given your incentive to enter the portal, because School X has said, well, if you come here, you'll be our starting middle linebacker and we'll pay you $800,000.
Well, here's the, and you're dead on. Most guys that qualify for a Power 5 scholarship can go to the portal and are going to have another scholarship. But to your point, the guy that thought he was going to be going from the Kentucky to Alabama might wind up going from Kentucky to Valdosta State.
Right.
That's the reality.
And there are kids that are not getting signed out of it.
That's
right. So, yes. I mean, there are kids that are entering the portal. Now, who knows? Maybe the school that they left basically kicked him out and instead of dismissing him,
there's
said, you
baggage.
Need to enter the portal.
Yeah.
But regardless, that is something that athletes are going to always have to be mindful of. Do I have a home if I get into the portal?
And the other part of that is, because kids can leave every year if they want, schools now are less likely to keep them if they don't fit. Now, scholarships have always been one-year deals, and schools have run off kids, but not like now. Now, I think, at the end of spring practice, you're going to look at your 85, and now that you know any of those 85 could leave tomorrow and play for Auburn, you're more likely to run off 16 of those 85 because you don't want them. That's the other side of the free agency thing. So we got a lot to talk about. It's a beautiful day here. We got a draft 2 days away. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about receivers from our area, Carlion, Keon Coleman and Ricky Pearsall and Brock Bowers and so many others all coming up in the program. Phil Collins is taking us to break. You, I mean, how often do you get that? How often do you go to break with Phil Collins, Carlion?
It's a great day.
Well, that's a great day. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's a Nimnik Tuesday on The Frangie Show. Nimnik, your friends in the car business since 1941.
I know, wait a minute.
Whew. This is a big show.
You're telling me La Selva took us to break with Phil Collins, is bringing us back with Tom Scholl's Brad Delpin Company on a Tuesday?
This is
incredible. I don't have the energy for the Tuesday. Obviously, Boston's one of my favorite all-time bands, but I love your appreciation of this song. It's like one of your favorite songs.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I absolutely love the song, and I wish we could play the whole thing.
There you go. I do want to thank our friends from the Nimnik Family Dealerships, Billy Nimnik, Lee Nimnik, all my friends from Nimnik Chevrolet, Nimnik Buick GMC. I've been buying my cars there, and that's the truth, by the way, since 1982. I still drive a car from Nimnik, and I'm always going to. If you need a place to get a car, go to the best place in town, my friends, at Nimnik. That's the Nimnik family of dealerships. Nimnik Chevrolet, Cassett, at part Nimnik Buick GMC. Man, they do a good job, and they're good folks. I can promise you that. And that family's been a good car family for a long, long time. As long as I've been around here, I can promise you that. All right, so Keon Coleman, is he a star? I mean, he might be creeping into the first round. That seems to be the rumor. I saw it a couple times on Twitter today. I think he's a really good player. Jamal St. Cyr and I do a lot of stuff on Channel 4 together, and Jamal did his mock, and he's got the Jags nabbing Coleman in the second round and asked me how I would feel about that. I think Coleman's a really good player. I do think he's an awful lot like Gabe Davis, same size, same type guy, two or three different gears, but not a burner. So I don't know that you go draft a guy like that if you just signed a guy like that in free agency if you're the Jags. But I really like him as a player. How good is Keon Coleman? Where do you see this thing landing?
I think he's got a really bright future in the NFL. I've heard comparisons to Cortland Sutton. I would say that's fair. I think Keon Coleman is got, I'd say, a higher ceiling than Cortland Sutton, who just had a dazzling year for Denver, particularly considering that, you know, they weren't interested in retaining Russell Wilson. But Cortland Sutton had, I want to say, like 12 touchdown catches, made just some incredible grabs in that year for Denver. And really, that's what Keon Coleman has done throughout his collegiate career, 19 touchdown catches. And, you know, he's only been in college 3 years. The other thing about, you know, Keon that I think you have to look at is of the top receivers, he's like the second youngest. He's not even 21 years old yet. So you're talking about a player that still obviously has considerable athletic upside to hit and already looks like a man among boys at times at the major collegiate level. So, you know, I liked Keon Coleman at 17 when, you know, we first got into the draft process. Obviously had a tough combine in terms of the 40.
He ran 4.61.
Yeah, although he did better in the drills. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to go as high as 17, but I certainly wouldn't criticize a club. Like, if I was Kansas City, I'd have no problem taking Keon Coleman in the first round and give Mahomes a player with that kind of catch radius. And you know,
and I'm like you now. I'm going to agree with you on this. I like it better when we don't agree, but I agree with you. The 4.61 doesn't bother me because I watched him play.
And he can just outfight guys for the ball.
Right. But
so I'm not so worried about the separation.
We get so caught up in that, so freaking caught up in testing and numbers. Well, I watched him play. So I don't care if he ran 4.61, so it doesn't bother me. Johnny, let's get to Johnny Wilson. Why do you like Johnny Wilson more than the others?
I don't really like him as a receiver, but I don't think there's enough agility. I do really like him as a move tight end.
He's 230. He could put on 20 pounds.
Yeah, he's 6'6", obviously, with you know, that leaping ability. He certainly has issues, which is why he's, you know, not going to go, certainly in not the first two rounds. And even for a fan like me, I don't think he's going to go in the first three. But you know, he certainly has to get more consistent with his hands. You know, that was
a
major issue. It is really hard to believe that a player with that kind of skill set only caught 2 touchdowns last year. Like, I mean, that's really, really hard to believe. Now Keon Coleman played a role in that. And obviously Florida State didn't have Jordan Travis for its final few games. So that factored into it as well. But I think Johnny Wilson, if you're willing to give him a year to learn the tight end position, I think he could be fantastic in that role.
See, I don't love him as a prospect. I think he's erratic. I think he'll be okay in the league. You're right, and I never thought about him as a tight end until you said it. But get up to 250, and as a move tight end, yeah. Move tight ends tend to not be 6'6". They tend to be 6'3", 6'4", Evan Engram size, because they need to be a little more agile. They're going to have to come off some jams because they're going to be lined up out wide. But I don't love him as much as a prospect, but it'll be – he ran 4.52, by the way. So that's fast for a guy that big. So, Ladd McConkey.
I think a lot of that is where he goes. Obviously he's got the agility. I am concerned medically. I guess, in general, I'm not as high on him as most.
I love him.
Because I worry about a back issue. Yeah. That is something that would be a concern for me.
And he's not big.
He's not big. So again, a lot of it would be, what's my room already look like? But I would not probably take Ladd McConkey where he is likely to get picked.
Which is
He's going to go somewhere between 28 and 35.
Late one, early two. I love him. I love the way he runs routes. I think he's lightning quick. I think he's a really good player, man. I think he ran 4.39, and so he's 6 foot, about 185. I think he's a football player, man. That guy, I like him the most of the three we've mentioned so far. I like him more than Coleman. I like him more than Johnny Wilson.
I would take him over Wilson. Yeah. I would take Keon Coleman over.
Yeah, but I really like him. Ricky Pearsall.
He's another guy. I'm surprised that he's received this much hype in the draft process. I think he's a good prospect. I think he's solid, but I would be reluctant to take Ricky Pearsall in the top 50, which is where I think he is going to go. For me, there's a little bit of jack of all trades, master of none for me with Pearsall. Like, he's just kind of solid all the way around, but nothing I'd say overly spectacular. A lot of people are, I get it. He made a huge, a dazzling catch against Charlotte.
Yeah, that was one play.
I think one play is sort of clouded how.
I really like McConkey better, but I really like Pearsall too, because again, I think he's a football player, man. I think he is a, I would take Ladd McConkey in the first round, late in the first round. Pearsall, I probably would take. He strikes me as a late second round guy, which is what you think, where you think he's going to go. But I think they're football players, man. And the games change. You can be small. Small and quick works now. Now, if you're Tyreek Hill, small, quick, and really fast, that kind of helps. And neither one of these guys, they run okay. McConkey was a 4.39. Pearsall was a 4.51. They're about the same size. I like McConkey better. But, I think they're both really good players. I'll be very interested to see where they wind up. And by the way, in my mind, either can play outside. They're both being branded as slot guys, which is probably where they'll wind up, but I think they both run well enough to be outside, at least for me. All right, let's get to, before we go to break, Brock Bowers very quickly. Is he the mega, mega, mega star that everybody thinks in your mind?
Yes. Yeah, Brock Bowers is no prospect is perfect. There's no such thing as a safe player in the draft, but he's about as close to it as I think you'll find. Again, the environment's going to matter a lot for him. But in terms of if he goes to Indianapolis with Shane Steichen,
right?
I mean, I think that could be ridiculously scary if Anthony Richardson is what they think he is. I think he's going no further than that. So I think 15 is absolutely his floor. But I think he'll be, I mean, again, I think you'll be talking about somebody. He'll have the kind of impact that Laporta had, Dalton Kincaid had. Now, obviously, those teams didn't invest a pick as high as Bowers will go. But to me, the worst case scenario for Brock Bowers, assuming he doesn't suffer some, you know, rash of injuries,
right?
The worst case as a pro for Brock Bowers is he's a reliable tight end, maybe not a star for 8 years.
I think he's really good. The Kyle Pitts thing scares me a little bit. Now, Kyle was taller, but they were very similar in that nobody in college could play him. They didn't have to block.
Right. Well, but, and feel free, Atlanta, find a quarterback in three years.
And that's right, too. So we'll see. But I love them all. I love the receiver impact from guys from around here. Let's take a break. Hayes, headlines are next. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Gather around.
It's Hayes' Headlines, presented by Harrell & Harrell. Don't settle for less than you deserve. Hear all about it. Here's Hayes Carline.
All right, welcome back to the Frangie Show. Frank Frangie, J.J. LaSelva, I'm Hayes Carline with you. Thanks to our friends at Harrell & Harrell. Give them a call if you need them at 251-1111. All right, Frank, let's dive right in. We started this series yesterday. We're going to continue it today, and it'll be over tomorrow. Quick series, mini series.
Big series.
Yeah, Jags Love draft X Factor. So what we're looking at with these prospects are not the usual suspects when it comes to the 17th pick, but somebody who might make sense at 17, but somebody who is we're really not talking about in the conversation.
Okay.
And today's subject is defensive tackle Byron Murphy, 6 feet, 297. Yeah. He's 21 years old. 16 starts, had 15 tackles for loss, 8 sacks. This was the stat that really grabbed me. He was number one in all of FBS last year among interior defensive linemen in pass rush win percentage at 19.6%.
I'd be totally okay with it. It wouldn't be first for me because I think there's other needs more pressing. What is important to me, and I said this yesterday, Hayes, and I'll stand by this. What's important to me at 17, obviously a good player, that goes without saying, but a guy that's going to play a lot right now because the window is open, and I've been consistent with that. A defensive tackle is going to play a lot. Even if you have your presumed four starters in that 4-3, which you do, because Eric Armstead and Roy Robertson-Harris and Devon Hamilton, some combination of those three are going to start at those two spots. You play a lot of guys in there, a lot of guys. So I would be, again, I wouldn't pick that because I'd rather a cornerback who's going to play every play, but that position is going to play a lot. I'd be okay with it.
Pete Prisco submitted his what they should do mock draft today, which is obviously very interesting. It's what Pete would do if he were in these club shoes. And there was some opinions here. He believes the Bears should take Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams.
I totally disagree with that.
Yeah, and he had
and we'll tell him that.
And he had Malik Nabers going ahead of Marvin Harrison.
And I totally disagree with that.
Yeah.
So I'll tell him both of those. I don't overthink it, Pete. We had the Will Anderson conversation last year. I just don't think he's that good a passer. Pete, don't overthink it. You saw him make plays at Alabama, play after play. Don't overthink it. Yeah, I love Pete. He knows way more about this stuff than I do, but I disagree with both of those. What about you?
I would take Caleb Williams over Jaden Daniels, who I think will be good, but I think Caleb Williams is really sensational in terms of what he offers. And Marvin Harrison the third to me is – I mean, he is – the closest thing that I've seen to Larry Fitzgerald. I would not turn my nose up at that. I think Malik Nabers is super impressive as well, but I would rather have Harrison's physicality and speed combination. Mel Kiper Jr. has put out his final player ranking, so his final board has been released. He has Brian Thomas at 17, so the 17th best player in the draft. Right. Mel Kiper believes is Brian Thomas. He's got Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold, 20 and 21st.
Wow. So overall value in his mind, not top 17 players, they're both going to be gone before 20. So I disagree with him. And in fairness to Mel, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying, because need factors in. He's talking value, and I get it. But that's interesting for me. Brian Thomas, all three of those guys are top 20 players, I think.
Also, getting back to Pete, he did have the Jaguars taking Terrion Arnold at 17. So continue to see a lot of that, which leads us to Bucky Brooks's latest mock draft. Our good buddy. He does have the Jaguars taking Terrion Arnold. The surprise with Bucky's mock, he's got Dallas Turner falling to 19.
I will tell you this, and I did not know that. I don't love Dallas Turner like others do. He's a good pass rusher. I don't like him as much as Verse. I don't like him as much as the UCLA guy. I don't think he's Will Anderson reincarnated, which is what a lot of people believe. Now, they don't believe he's the top two or three pick, but because he played at Alabama and played in that same scheme. So that one doesn't shock me. If there's one guy that has been looked at as a top 10, 12 guy, I think he has, that I don't necessarily agree with, is probably Dallas Turner. So I probably would agree with Bucky on that.
The Chiefs extended Andy Reid as well as their president and general manager. But when it comes to Andy Reid, Frank, he's now 70 wins behind Don Shula for most all time. He's 5 playoff wins behind Bill Belichick, and he has Patrick Mahomes. Do you think he's got a chance to break those records?
I do, and he's motivated because they say he's going to be north of the $25 million that Belichick was making, which is pretty amazing. If you think about it, he's 4th behind Shula, George Halas, and Bill Belichick. Wow. I mean, think about that for a second. You would have if I asked you to name 4 of the greatest coaches of all time, you know what you would have told me? You would have gone Shula, Belichick, Halas, and then you would have gone Tom Landry or Chuck Knoll or whoever, or Vince Lombardi. You wouldn't have got there, would you?
No.
But it's amazing that that's where he is. It really is.
Absolutely. And he's funny, too. JJ, give us some Andy Reid.
A cheeseburger and went to bed.
Well, if you like chocolate cake and you eat a piece and you have one dangled in front of your face, you're probably going to want to eat that, too. That's how you feel about the Super Bowl. I mean, that is the chocolate cake with the ultimate frosting.
You want to bet a cheeseburger that they go deep on us the first play?
I'm going to go get the biggest cheeseburger you've ever seen. Prime, the biggest one. And might be a double.
He's sensational.
I love him.
Yeah, he is.
He's a good guy, obviously, good coach.
He's the head coach of rivals too strong, but certainly the team, the Jaguars and the entire league is chasing.
And by the way, he in the State Farm commercials,
he's great.
He's really funny.
Oh yeah,
I mean I wouldn't have thought that. He's really funny.
He is. He's great. I love the nuggies.
Dude, that one and the one where he's painting the face on. He's I'm gonna get to the bottom.
That's
hilarious.
Absolutely. Sticking with the NFL, the Broncos have picked up the 5th-year option on corner Patrick Surtain. Again, the deadline is May 2nd, so the Broncos doing this a little earlier than necessary. But again, it leads us to what will be the biggest post-draft storyline around here. So let's just go ahead and weigh in now. We know the Jaguars will pick up Trevor Lawrence's 5th-year option.
Right.
Should they pick up the 5th-year option on running back Travis Etienne?
Yes, and I think they will. I know running back is not the premium position it once was. I think he's a really good player. I think he can do a lot of things. He's not quite the downhill runner some others are, but he's everything else. My answer is yes. What's yours?
I would pick it up.
Yeah.
It's like $6 million. I think, again, assuming he has another big year, I would absolutely pick it up. And then unfortunately, at that point, I'd probably let him hit the market. But let's switch it to the NBA. The Magic are down 0-2. JJ, can they come back?
No. I don't even know if they'll win a series. Their offense looks terrible. I don't know if they'll be able to score 100 points. This might be a year too early for the Magic.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you watched any of that?
I haven't.
But I
follow because I know enough people that care about it. This is still progress, though, right, JJ?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is a great year for them.
Oh, my gosh, absolutely.
They're not going to do anything in the postseason this time
and
around.
And Paolo looks to be a star.
They're on track, I would say.
Absolutely.
And again, I'm not someone that knows. I'm listening to people, Hacker and JJ, people that know. But I would think on track.
Jim Harbaugh got a tattoo to live up to his promise. The Wolverines went undefeated, won the national championship. So he got a big old M on his shoulder with 15-0 below it. Frank, if the Pirates win the World Series, will you get a tattoo?
Yes. Okay. Yes. But I'm not getting it on my arm. I'm getting it right on the left side of my face.
I like
it. Okay, just right there. Right
post Frank.
And you'll see it the whole because you sit to my left. So that's what you have the rest of your career coming because I'm not retiring. I'm just going to sit there with a big stamp on my face.
That would be fantastic. Sad news in the world of ESPN. Howie Schwab died at 63 over the weekend. So we didn't get to this yesterday. But a guy that I never watched Stump the Schaub.
Right.
Great show.
I know it had a lot of fans, but I was really moved by the outpouring of everybody that had worked with him at ESPN and what a great mind he had.
Same exact take. I didn't watch it either, but how endearing the comments about from all of them. I mean, from Berman and Dan Patrick and all of them. And Vital and he were really good buddies, but all the SportsCenter guys. How much they loved Howie Schwab, who died young, early 60s.
63,
So, but I thought, I'm with you, Hayes. I thought it was really cool to see the way they felt about him. I really believe that.
On this date, we had maybe one of the best top fives in NFL draft history, the 1989 NFL draft.
89.
JJ, hit us with some sound on this one.
I can't imagine mentioned that this is going to be more than about a three-minute call. I mean, the phone companies aren't going to make a lot on this one because the Cowboys made it official 2 days ago. Here's
Cowboys select Troy Aikman, quarterback, UCLA.
Troy Aikman goes first, followed by Barry Sanders, Derek Thomas, and Deion Sanders in terms of players that went on to become Hall of Fame players. Were those four good? Those four were good.
Okay.
The second pick, the pick that actually followed the Aikman pick, did not work out. One of the bigger draft busts in NFL history.
89, number two, not
Big Ten. Offense.
Not a blank.
Offensive line.
Mandrich.
Tony Mandrich was next.
Okay, very good.
The trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine is out. That will be in theaters July 26th. It is hilarious, but you might want to be careful watching the trailer around your kids. A lot of F-bombs.
You know what? Good thing I don't have any kids at home to worry about, though. So there's that.
The movie looks great, though. It should be a lot of fun. You got Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, and it should be great. So that'll be fun, July 26th. The Tom Brady roast is coming to Netflix on May the 5th. That will be a lock-in for me.
Yeah, same. Sam, Manning's got to be there. Who's on?
I can only imagine. I would think it's. They haven't really announced. Okay. Kevin Hart is the host. Right. They haven't announced.
You
who's
know,
gonna
Peyton's going
to
be there.
You would think, and Jeffrey Ross.
What about Belly? Yeah,
Belly's got to be there.
I mean,
got to be there. And he'll be. And by the way, and I'll bet he's hilarious.
Oh, it'll be great. I mean, it will be fantastic. Yeah. So obviously, it's on Netflix. Anything goes, so it should be.
Will Giselle be there?
That ran through my mind. It ran through my mind. You got to wonder, right?
So that'll be a lot of fun. That Tom Brady roast coming up May 5th on Netflix. Happy birthday today to the lovely Valerie Burton Ellie, born this day in 1960. Frank.
Oh my God, my crush, our friend Brad Johnson, who you and I both know, our lawyer friend. Uh-huh. He sent me a text a couple weeks ago when Valerie Burton Ellie announced that she was married to Eddie Van Halen.
Right.
He passed away. Well, she's found a new man.
Really?
And Brad sent me a text saying, "You okay?"
That's awesome.
And my response, not sure.
Yeah.
Valerie Bertinelli. I mean, I'm telling you, when you're my age, mm-hmm. and you're, oh my God, one day at a time. I didn't watch Happy Days because One Day at a Time was on the other at the same time. You didn't know that, did you?
That is
new information for you,
but
and I'm here to share it.
You made the right choice.
Yes, there's no question I did.
On that one, for
Joni was fine and all, but she wasn't freaking Barbara Cooper.
That's
so
right.
You know that.
Well, now imagine Valerie Bertinelli dancing to this song, because on this date in 1983, Come On Eileen by Dexys Midnight Runners was the top song in the country, Frank.
I have often said, I used to say this with Ryan Bonifant, our old producer, anytime someone's having a bad day, you play this, you're in a good mood. Yeah, I don't care what's happened. You could have lost your favorite game, lost your job, left arm amputated, and then they play this, you're in a good mood.
Yeah.
This is a good mood song, isn't it?
No doubt about it. I love the scene in Tommy Boy when Spade and Farley are singing it as they drive down the interstate.
Great song. Certainly, well done.
Yeah, Come On Eileen, one of the biggest songs of the 1980s, Frank. Almost as big as this one.
No, you don't fool me, because I heard guys shout.
Can't get enough.
Yeah, I told you we'd get it.
Oh, I can't get enough. What a day this has been.
And that's it.
Is this on tape? Is this show on tape?
We'll see.
I'm gonna go home and listen to it. my night tonight's go home and listen. Let's take a break. When we come back, the quarterback whisperer Denny Thompson joins us. It's 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, the quarterback whisperer, Denny Thompson.
Okay, bring it in.
Brought to you by Tyson Sound and Security, security and automation experts, and George Moore Chevrolet.
One, two, three.
Frank Frangie hates Car Lion. JJ LaSelva with you. Let's go to the Whisperer. That would be Denny Thompson out on the golf course today, I'd imagine. Denny, you still on the course?
I am, man.
Where are you playing?
I am.
Where are you playing?
We're out at Stillwater.
Look at you, very nice.
I got a nice little eagle putt coming up.
Yeah. I'm guessing. What hole are you on? What hole are you on now?
I don't know, Austin. What hole are we on? 8.
Okay, so I'm guessing you're probably 2 under, probably trying to shoot 34 in the front. Is that kind of the goal?
Nah, we started off rough, man. So so we took a double on the first and a bogey on the second. But right. we rallied with two birdies, okay. so we got a chance.
Two birdies in nine holes is pretty good. So, Denny, and I told people this earlier, you and Austin Reed are playing golf, but you said something interesting to me in the parking lot the other day, and I really it hit home with me. This is with all the quarterbacks you guys work with, this is the week you got to just keep them occupied, because I got to believe it's crazy, right? I mean, for these guys that you wait and you wait and you wait and you wake up and you wake up, it's still another day, another 2 days. Tell me what it's kind of like for these cats.
Yeah, I mean, you just described it perfectly. It's, you know, it's the summation of 3 months with, you know, obviously Caleb has an idea where he's going, but the rest of these guys have no idea. Like, I mean, anybody's guess is good at this point. And so it's 3 months of waiting around and trying not to look at Zillow in every city. And
right.
and then, you know, you're here. And so, yeah, we just try to keep everybody busy this week. And us too. Like, that's not just for them. You know, we're curious. Where's Jordan going to go? Where's Emery going to go? Where's Austin going to go? And, you know, even guys like Joey Gatewood and things like that. Like, where, you know, where do they all fit in this thing? So it's a nervous time. It's an anxious time, but it's also exciting.
What did Joey Gatewood end up doing for testing, Denny?
He did well. He pulled up on the 40, but he's somewhere in that low 4-5 range. And you know, Joey's 6'5". He's probably 240 right now. He looks really good. He is going to get a chance to play in the NFL. He's had a lot of interest from, you know, a undrafted free agent perspective, and he's obviously got, you know, a ton of talent and a ton of athletic ability. So I'm excited. He comes to work every day smiling, and that's really the only thing I care about at this point. He's smiling. He's going to get a chance to play on Sundays.
Denny, what is your with Austin? And I know Austin's standing there right now when you're answering the question, but we are curious about it. I've watched enough tape of him, in large part because of you. I think he's pretty good. I think he's going to be an NFL quarterback, and I'm not saying it because he's your guy. It's my honest opinion. I told you guys this. I watched Graham Mertz last year when nobody thought he was very good, and I walked away thinking he's pretty good. And now Austin Reed is an NFL prospect. I feel the same thing. What is your guess? Third day, sixth or seventh, maybe surprise everybody, fourth or fifth. What do you expect?
No, I mean, I think at this point we're reasonable. We've, you know, talked to agents, talked to teams. And so, yeah, I mean, I think we're looking at definitely that third day. What you hope is, especially with somebody like Austin, who has a ton of good film and obviously has an NFL skill set, but his biggest asset that I've told you guys over and over again is these interviews and his mind for the game, his mind for leadership. And so what you really hope is that you get into that sixth round and there's somebody that says, man, I don't want to take our chances. We really like this guy. I don't want to, you know, mess with everybody else in this free agency world or undrafted free agency world. So let's take him. And so that's, you know, that's the game now. So the game is we feel like there's six or seven teams that fit that mold that really like him. And so now which is the first one to get nervous and jump at him? That's what we hope happens, you know, some point Saturday.
Denny, obviously every team is going to have probably multiple chances to select Austin. So with that in mind, do you have a three or four teams that you think he would be ideally suited for, that the offense, whether it's the offensive system or the head coach, is there, you know, three or four that you think would be ideal landing spots?
No, you know, the interesting thing is not really, Hayes, because, and he and I've talked about this, the interesting thing about Austin is he kind of fits whatever offense you do. I mean, he comes from, you know, kind of that air raid, run and shoot. He can do that. In high school, he played a little bit more of a pro style type of offense. He can do that. And he plays really, really well under center as well. And so when you look at somebody like him, he's available to that draft board. He's available for every single team. And he is perfectly aware of where he's at. So, you know, he loves going in and the thought of competing for that too and being the guy to help whoever that starter is and just wait for his opportunity. And so I think it opens everything up. I mean, obviously, you know, for me, the greedy part of me, it wants him as close to home as he can be, just so I can get to him easily. But outside of that, man, I have no preferences at all.
You spent a lot of time with Jordan Travis. He's been here. I saw a video of him at the FSU spring game, and he looks so happy. He looks like a guy that's in a good place. Update us on Jordan Travis. How healthy is he? Where's his head? He's got to wait these 4 or 5 days too, like everybody else does. And what are your expectations come Thursday or Friday or Saturday for Jordan Travis?
Yeah, his last day here was today. He'll be back in a couple weeks, but he went on down south for the draft. And, you know, we threw this morning, and you largely, like, if you didn't know, and you were just watching him throw and you're watching him just take easy drops, then you wouldn't be able to tell that he was injured. Now, you know, obviously he's not 100%. But you know, he feels better. He said he feels better every day. And I don't know. I have no idea what's going on the injury side, but I just know he's throwing it really well. Very accurate, very good arm, and has a really good idea of what he's trying to do. And that's been the thing that we've been most impressed with him is not, you know, not so much. Everybody knows he's a good football player, but just how much interest he has in this thing and how much he loves ball and just how much he has embraced, you know, the mechanic side of this thing. And he's improved greatly. So I don't think he's going to be sitting there as long as everybody thinks. I've seen people say in sixth, seventh round, man, he's got too good a film and he's got too big of an engine. I don't think he's going to be sitting around that long. I would hope to hear him in the fourth or fifth round.
I would agree. Looking at the NFL in general, one quarterback story that I thought was interesting is Zach Wilson getting traded. But getting traded to Denver, Sean Payton, obviously considered, you know, a gifted quarterback developer. What were your thoughts on that? Is there any chance Sean Payton salvages Zach Wilson?
Oh, man. I mean, I hope so. I hope so for Zach's point of view. I mean, he's had a rough go at it, that's for sure. But I don't know. I didn't really have a thought when I saw it. I think that, you know, there's a lot of surprises coming up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I think there's probably some teams that realize that hey, you know, if I don't get this place in the draft, then maybe it's better, you know, to wait for the next generational guy. That's the part right there is you not only have to find the quarterback that you love, but in order to draft him super early, you have to believe that this guy is better than what's going to come next year, the year after. And you have to believe this is going to be a superstar because your job's on the line. And so I don't know. Maybe they still try to do that. Maybe they, you know, try to see what Zach Wilson has with the change of scenery. But you know, either way, I mean, Sean Payton's proven in the past that he can work with quarterbacks now. He can teach them up.
Final thing, Danny, we'll let you get back to golf. The top four, Caleb, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, JJ, do you think they all go in that order? Is it any surprises? Do they go 1 through 4? Do they all go in the top six? What are your expectations on come Thursday?
No, I think somebody falls. I don't know who, but I just don't. I don't believe that there are four guys in this draft that are top five picks. And so I'm going to go with my gut here. I have no inside information, but I do think somebody falls. I think somebody's sitting there at, you know, 9, 10, 11, something like that.
Okay.
That's just and that's based on my evaluation. I can't even tell you the draft order. I have no idea.
Right.
But based on my evaluation, I don't think that those four guys are all, you know, top five caliber picks. I believe strongly that Caleb is, like everybody else does. And, you know, the rest of those guys, I don't know. I don't know if I was sitting there at 2, 3, or 4 if I would be able to jump at those.
All right, then I'm going to put you on the spot. Which of the four drop? And you're just guessing. This is inside information. Which of the four drop?
I'm going to say JJ just because he's okay. Risen so fast.
Right. I hear you.
Yeah. Nothing against JJ, but it's like he kind of just came out of nowhere. And I do think teams, as they look at those other three guys, I do think teams are looking for who's the most athletic, who's got the biggest engine. I keep talking about that, but that's the thing you can't put in somebody. And that's where I also, not to get off the subject, but I also wonder sometimes, like, okay, a healthy Jordan Travis, how far off is he from, you know, the back half of those four? And really, is Penix really, you know, 15 picks worse than whoever that fourth guy is? And when you start looking at it that way, I just don't believe that there's that much separation.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see quarterbacks all the rage in the draft on Thursday. Go hit them straight, Danny. Thanks, man. Tell Austin we're rooting for him. Take care, man.
Yes, sir. We'll do.
All right. Danny Thompson, he and Austin Reed playing golf right now as he's trying to clear Austin's head. I can only imagine what this week is like, Hayes, for all those guys. You know what I mean? I mean, if you've waited all your life to be drafted in the NFL, you've played 3, 4 years, however many you've played in college football. You're Hayes in the barn in terms of what you can do on the field. Then you've spent another 3 months just grinding as best you can with trainers and pro days and combine if you got invited. And you got to stay in tip-top shape. And you've had all the interviews and the – well, now that's all over, and it's still not till Thursday. You've gotten through all that, and you've still got 4 or 5 days. I mean, it's going to be wonderfully rewarding – for those who go where they hope to go, or those who go at all or get a chance to play at all. But I bet this is an agonizing week. I get it.
I think so, particularly when you're talking about the guys that aren't going to go super high Thursday night. So the Jordan Travis's, Spencer Radler, certainly Austin, guys like that that a number of teams are going to have all the teams will probably have multiple chances to select them because you really don't know. I mean, to his point about looking at Zillow in every NFL market, it could be anywhere. Like if you're Austin, you absolutely could be anywhere. There's not a single team that you could cross off and say they absolutely will not take a quarterback in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. So I would think that is what is so jarring is being at a point in your life where you're two or three days away from not knowing where you're going to be living in like a month. And some place where you're going to be under contract for 4 years. And so I would think that from a life standpoint, it's rewarding once you get the phone call, but it's got to be tough. Plus it's like these guys are competitors. Even if they're being told you're going to be a, sixth, seventh round pick, you're probably watching Thursday and certainly Friday and thinking, man, maybe there's a chance that interview went really well. Maybe they're going to take me in the third round. And then it doesn't happen, and you get to Saturday and have to, see 100 more picks be made. It's certainly, I think, a difficult process. And you just hope that, for a player like Austin, that he ends up with a really good head coach and a good starter that maybe is on the, latter part of their career, where maybe he can learn for a year or two and then maybe have a shot at it.
Yeah, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. I want to do this tomorrow, the last day you and I will be together before the draft. Go actually through it. We won't do a mock per se, but we're going to go team by team and what we think they may do. And that'll be kind of our show tomorrow, just you, me, and JJ. And obviously, by the way, the 1010XL Media Mock Draft is tomorrow. And it's going to be – I told Mike and Tony this. Mike started this thing 100 years ago and does a fantastic job. You line up – a member of the media in all for representing all 32 teams, and it goes. It'll start on Mike and Tony's show, Jaguars Today. It'll bleed into Helmets and Heels. I'm going to make the pick for the Jaguars because I think that's how Helmets. I think 1 through 16 will be on Jaguars Today, and then I think I pick for the Jags afterwards. But they do a great job on that. It's really you're really getting a member of the media in every area or every city. And then they know who's on the board and who's not. So it's great work. It's really a lot of fun. So
I think it's a really helpful exercise.
I do too. Because it's real people.
Yeah, and it's people that are having the kind of conversations that we have here. I mean, that they have an idea of what is happening and what is real and what isn't. And obviously you can't do trades, and we know trades will be part of how Thursday plays out. But it really does give you a good idea of what is really the biggest need or just what's the best marriage between value and need in every market.
All right, so we're going to do a shout today. We want you to shout out. We do that on a lot of our shows. 641-1010 is the number. Someone's walking away with a custom T-shirt that said, I had the best shout of the day, but only one of you get it. I want to know who you think the Jags should take. Who should they take? Who do you hope they take? Where do you hope this goes? This is your chance to tell us what you think about the Jags draft and where you want it to go. The number is 641-1010. Somebody's winning a custom T-shirt. We'll do the shout after this. Stay with us. You know you
make me wanna shout. Time to shout. Woo! Looking for the best shouter of the day. But you have to do it in 20 seconds. So let's shout.
All right, let's get right to it. We got callers are loaded up. What do you think the Jags should do in the draft? Who should they take? Let's kick it off with Austin. Austin, you've got 20 seconds. Go.
Yes, sir. I just had a question. If I'm a huge Georgia fan, if for some reason Brock Bowers, which is the best tight end in the draft, drops to pick 17, do you think the Jags should take him?
All right. I got it. That's Brock Bowers is your guy. I put you down, and it'd be hard to pass him up. I think they got a tight end, but it'd be hard to pass him up. Austin, good work. Way to kick us off there. Let's go back to the phones. Robert, you got 20 seconds. What should the Jags do?
From the movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner, David freaking Putney.
All right.
Robert, thank you very much. 641-1010, the number to call. What do you think the Jags should do? You've got – now listen, I keep telling you, you got 20 seconds. That doesn't mean you have 7 seconds. Use your 20. Use the time on the clock. Just don't go over. Mike, go ahead, please. Mike, are you
Mike B? Is it me?
Yeah, it's you, Mike. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, sorry. I was waiting for Mike B. Anyway, I think they should go after a pass catcher. I know Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably way out of the realm of possibility, so I'm really pulling for Neighbors. I think he's going to be a great receiver in the league. But I agree with the first caller. If Bowers is on the board at 17, I can't help but think of New England when they had Gronk and Hernandez. Bowers is a great tight end for 10 years, I think.
All right. Very good. Well done. Well made points all the way around, Mike. Good work. I think Brandon is up next. Hello, Brandon.
All right. So we got bad luck with receivers. We had a cokehead, a pothead, an alcoholic. So let's get a DB, and then let's go ahead and get my sleeper, LeJack, from South Carolina, number 48. Look him up. Debo, part two.
All right. Brandon says Xavier Leggett is your second pick.
Yeah, and he likes a defensive back in at 17. That would make a lot of sense.
Okay, let's go to another Robert. Robert, you got 20 seconds. Go ahead.
I'm wondering if everybody's bumped their head and forgotten how bad our offensive line was forever. They weren't just bad. They weren't terrible. They were awful, offensive line or defensive line, one of the two. Protect the quarterback, hit the quarterback. Thank you.
All right, Robert, very well-made point. Very solid, and you used a lot of your time. You did it well. Offensive line or defensive line, says Robert. Kyle, you're up next. Go ahead, Kyle. You got 20 seconds.
So if Jared Burst is on the board, I'm taking Jared Burst. If he's not there, probably taking Brian Thomas at wide receiver. And if he's not there, then probably Quinyon Mitchell. I'm not really interested in going up for anybody except for Adunze. Don't think Malik Neighbors is going to be all that great, considering the games I saw him play in Florida against Florida State. Two fumbles.
All right. Very well,
well done,
made.
Though.
Yeah, well, that was one of our best ones. Jared Verse. If Jared Verse isn't there, Brian Thomas. If Brian Thomas isn't there, Quinyon Mitchell. So good work, Kyle. Very good. We've had some good callers today. Here's the way it works. You've got 20 seconds. Give us who you think the Jags should take and why. And the best shout of the day gets a T-shirt. Let's go to Coach Mac. Coach Mac, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Can you hear me, Frank?
I can. 20 seconds.
I am taking corner, best one available. I'm going Terrion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell. If Wiggins is there, I'll take Wiggins. Unless you want to get crazy, take an edge rusher, move Trayvon inside, and wreak havoc up front.
All right. Well said. Very good call, Coach Mac. I liked it very much. Is Wiggins too small?
Yes.
That's the concern, right? He's 170
and
or so?
I think it's a legitimate concern. I'm not overly high on him.
Yeah. So
that would bother me.
So if in your mind, if Arnold and Mitchell are gone,
I probably am not taking corner.
You're probably not. That's what I'm going to ask. You're probably not going corner.
Yeah. If both those players are gone, that leaves us with 15. I'm assuming at least four of those are quarterbacks. That leaves us with 11. At that point, I'm taking probably an edge that's fallen or an offensive lineman that's fallen.
All right. You got good callers today.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Callers have done a good job. We still got room for you. 641-1010. Is it KB, JJ? JB. JB, you are up. You got 20 seconds. Who should they take?
Well, I'm going with bulky picks. We're going linebacker for all 7 rounds, baby. Woo!
Linebacker for all 7 rounds.
Peyton Wilson, welcome to the Jaguars.
All right, JB, we appreciate that. We do have some room for you. 641-1010 is the number to call. We'll do this for a few more minutes. Who do you think the Jags should take? We have been loaded up with callers. I've got one or two that I think might be the shout of the day, but we'll continue to ask others. We have heard cornerback, which is what everybody seems to think. Robert said he wants offensive line or defensive line because he doesn't think the team's very physical. Kyle went through 3 guys. Jared Verse, if he's there, if not Brian Thomas, if not Quinyon Mitchell, and he definitely does not want to move up. So interesting stuff from Kyle. Let's go to Danny, who's up next. Danny, go ahead. What should the Jags do? You've got 20 seconds.
Hey, guys, let's go back to our roots. The best we've ever been in the almost 30 years we've been around is when we had our Hall of Famer Tony Boselli and Leon. Let's go with the offensive line. We need earth movers like that. That's when we were our best. Let's get back to the basics.
Okay, back to basics. I like the way you said that. Danny, thank you for the call. Danny says, let's go to Bo, let's go to Big Leon, and let's go back to the way we were once upon a time. 641-1010 is the number to call It really is going to be an interesting draft. It really is. If you think about all the possibilities, and you made an interesting point, if the two top corners aren't there, what do you do? Is it Gonzo, I think, we have next?
Gonzo likes Sesame Street.
Go ahead. You got 20 seconds.
Okay, if it's not O-line or D-line, because I want to protect Trevor and wreak havoc, if he's staring at you, just take Brian Thomas, touchdown maker. You can stretch the field, and we can light the scoreboard up.
I like it. Well done, Gonzo. I appreciate the call. Very good point made. I want to get to you. I want to get to your thoughts on Brian Thomas in a second, Ace. But let's go back to the phones. They've been loaded up. Joe is up next. Joe, go ahead.
I think they ought to take an edge rusher and move Trayvon inside because Roy Robinson-Harris and Devon Hamilton may not be around. Devon, we'll have to see if he comes back. And Roy, I don't think they're going to re-sign him. So get an edge, move Trayvon inside. Then you got Josh for 5 years, Trayvon for another three, and then you got a fresh edge.
All right, well said, Joe. A very strategic point. Joe says go ahead and make Trayvon a full-time tackle and get an edge. Let's go. Boy, phones are loaded up here. You guys have done a good job today. Proud of you. Let's go to John, who's up next. Hello, John.
Hey, this is Don.
Oh, Don. Don, go ahead.
Hey, no problem. First thing I think is to do is trade Belfi to the Raiders and then take I'd go the cornerback.
Okay.
And the reason I say that, I grew up in San Francisco, so I think the trade for Balky would be awesome for the franchise.
Okay,
go Jacks.
Trade Balky and then
pick a corner.
All like in one scope. Yeah. What do you get for Trent, though? What are you getting? That's the question.
Conditional 11th.
Is there a lot of value? Trent, God bless. Let's go to Hudson, who's next up on the program. Hudson, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I say we take an edge rusher and move Trayvon inside, and then we take Michael Penix Jr.
Okay, you go wow, quarterback.
How about that?
Quarterback very high. All right. Well, Michael Penix Jr. Now we haven't had one of those before. You don't take him to back up, so I guess Hudson is not a Trevor fan.
Yeah, how about that?
It is interesting that we've had two people suggest just move Trayvon inside. So interesting stuff.
I am interested in that. If we'll see what Harry has to say, but I am interested in seeing as we get into OTAs what the plan is for Trayvon.
Harry, you're next up. Hi, Harry.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Listen, let's take a dare here. We picked 13 players last year, and only one offensive line did any good. Any decent pick. Let's have a pair of testicles and move off, and then we can say I feel good.
All right, then. You could say that. Well done, Harry. We're going to squeeze in one more, maybe two here. Don D joins us now. Hey, Don D, you got 20 seconds.
We're going to go big. We're okay. Trading for Ayuk. That's the pass catcher, and we're getting one of the big defensive tackles, either from Texas or Illinois. Okay. Mark it down.
Brandon Ayuk and one of the big defensive tackles. The question would be, what do you give up for him?
But, in this case, I think you're talking about probably the second-round pick this year. And probably something next year.
All right, one more caller. Our last caller today is going to be Andrew. Andrew, you got 20 seconds. What would you like to see the Jaguars do here?
Hey, guys. Gene Smith would have taken Patrick Paul. Dave Caldwell would have taken Amarius Mims. But our boy Trent Baalke is going to take Tyler Guyton, right tackle, Oklahoma.
All right, there
going
you go.
Back to the well. Well, Anton worked out well.
It would be back-to-back right tackles from Oklahoma. Andrew, thank you very much. Hey, callers, you did a great job. That was good work from our callers. Man, oh, man, we had a bunch of them. We will decide who had the shout of the day. I could give away a lot of T-shirts today because a lot
of
you.
Good. We had 16 callers.
Yeah, and you all did a really good job. So, and we could have gone all day. 16 callers in one segment is a lot. But I can only give away one T-shirt, so we'll do that.
It's the best field. That's what we had today.
The best field in golf or calls is what we had. We'll take a break. One segment to go. We'll wrap the program after this.
It's a Nimnik Tuesday on The Frangie Show. Nimnik, your friends in the car business since 1941.
Hi, welcome back to the program. One segment to go. Hey, let me shout out to my alma mater, Inglewood Baseball. They are celebrating tomorrow night the 1999 state championship, 25 years later. If you're a member of that team, if you want to go up and celebrate Inglewood Baseball, tomorrow night's the night to do it. So they'd love to have you come out, and they've asked us to mention it, so happy to mention it. So if you want to have another chance to celebrate a terrific championship, go do it with those Inglewood folks. That is tomorrow night as we get toward the end of the high school baseball season. and it's been a fun year. I never got to this today, but I wanted to. Caitlin Clark got an 8-year, $28 million deal with Nike, which comes out to about $3.5 million a year. I love that. I think she has elevated that sport. I don't know that that'll continue in the NBA, the WNBA level. I told you that, Hayes. I don't think all of a sudden people are going to start watching it. She's not the first great player to come along. Dawn Staley and Lisa Leslie and a bunch of others came before her, and it didn't necessarily change the needle all that much. But something different about her, the vibe, the way people responded to her, the way television cameras responded to her, I think she's elevated the sport in such a way. But, hey, she's elevated a sport that doesn't pay. I mean, she's going to make 60, 70 grand this year, the first year of her WNBA contract. So the fact that she got almost $4 million a year deal with all the time she's been on television, with everything she's gone through, I think it's phenomenal. I loved one of my favorite stories I read today.
Yeah, and look, I mean, Nike isn't doing that as a charitable donation. They believe they're going to make way more money than $28 million selling the shoes. So it's great for her, absolutely, but it does speak to the interest that was there and I think will be enhanced because of her dominant collegiate career. And so, again, it's a great business decision by Nike because chances are they're going to be very happy with how the deal financially goes, you know, 4 years down the line. I mean, they're going to sell, I have to think, millions of the Caitlin Clark Nike.
Yeah, and so I think it's a great move. I love the fact that they're doing it. I love the fact that it has happened. So I think it's really, really good news. We didn't get to this. Give me your order of most popular franchises ever. Let's lump all the sports in there together. Yankees won. Then who? We would all agree. But then you got Celtics, Lakers, Cowboys, Steelers, Dodgers. You got, and I don't know hockey well enough to know.
Yeah,
the Canadiens. So in the Hayes Carline power poll, if I asked you to go 5, 6, 7 deep, we'd all agree Yankees won.
Yankees won.
Where are you going after that?
I'd say Lakers, but it's close. Yeah. To me, the Yankees are far and away one.
Yeah.
Then I'd go Lakers second, but yeah. I would listen to an argument.
When you travel overseas, you realize it's those two.
Yeah.
Okay. So you see the Lakers clear second.
Absolutely. Okay. You see Yankees and Lakers stuff everywhere.
Okay. Interesting. I'll buy it. Yankees won for me. I would have had Lakers, Celtics, Dallas Cowboys, Los Angeles Dodgers lumped in together.
I wouldn't have known that's a really good top five.
That's the 2 through 5. And I wouldn't have known where to put them. I wouldn't have. Okay, you guys think Lakers next.
I'd probably go in that five after the Lakers. I'd probably go Cowboys, Dodgers, Celtics.
How about you, JJ?
I want to put the Bulls in there somewhere. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but for someone from my generation, I still see Bulls stuff everywhere. Like I see way more Bulls stuff than Dodgers stuff.
See, I wouldn't even have the Bulls in my top 10.
I would assume.
I wouldn't even have them. They had one great, fantastic run. They had
sure.
a fantastic, but yeah. I wouldn't. I don't.
Like
I don't
the Celtics think, I, in my lifetime.
Yeah. See, I don't even. Well, but I'm talking about all. I'm talking about from the 20s on.
You're talking about if you're interviewing a sports fan from the age of 10 to 90.
Yeah. See,
who are going to be the logos?
Yeah, exactly. Right 10. Like, see, what does a 10-year-old know about the Celtics?
Well, no, you'd have. But
well,
I,
they're
but
good
I,
now.
Yeah, but I would have to. I would say this. I don't even think of the Bulls. I think of Jordan.
Yeah.
I don't. The team.
Well, of course.
But the team doesn't resonate. I mean, at all. The team doesn't. All these other ones. The various generations.
What about the Patriots?
Well, you know what? Now, the Patriots, because they
didn't have a
good
crazy
call,
long
good
run.
Call.
But
yeah. The, longer.
I would think top 20.
Yeah.
I tell you, a team that I think might be 6 would be the Braves.
The Braves are on the Braves are on the ballot. They would have to be on because they've
TBS,
done,
man.
And, well, if TBS first, and then they've been really good. So TBS,
that helped.
TBS introduced us when they weren't very good, but then they got good afterwards. So, yeah, I would say. So for me, I think the top five. I would go with the top five.
What about Notre Dame?
Well, you know what? I didn't. By the way, I had thought about a college.
Yeah, well, they'd be top five.
That's a great call.
The Celtics just got bumped.
Yeah,
in my list.
That's a great call. Yeah. You're right. Notre Dame would be right there, wouldn't they? Of pro teams, if you go Yankees, Lakers, see, I'd go Celtics third.
Okay,
I'd go Celtics third. Cowboys. Isn't it funny? The NFL is the biggest brand, but none of their individual teams, only one would maybe even make the top 10.
Yeah.
I can't.
I think the Steelers would make the top Steelers, 10.
But yeah. It's maybe at the bottom.
And the 49ers.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. Because after the Dodgers, Yankees, Dodgers, you're right. You'd have to be an old person after you get beyond the Yankees, Dodgers, Braves. You got to be an old person to appreciate the old Giants or Cubs interesting.
Are you guys surprised that the Cowboys are still so popular nationwide?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not, because they're bigger than how good they are.
That's for damn sure.
They haven't been good at all. The Yankees are bigger than how good they are. The Yankees they're good this year. The Yankees haven't been a real factor in baseball in a while.
Yeah.
But they're
10 years.
Yeah, but their brand is way bigger. The Yankees brand is way bigger. Well, look, the Lakers. I know they wanted it the COVID year, but other than the COVID year when everybody played in a Sam's Club.
A lot of downtime.
Yeah, yeah. So,
a lot of down years.
So sometimes your brand is bigger than your team. Anyway,
Cowboys brand, I think, now in this generation, is the failures.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's their story.
I think it's enhanced it. Because it's always such a talking point.
That's what the Cubs have been.
Yeah, so
the
it's Cubs, almost like no matter how the season goes, Dallas is going to be a hot topic.
Overhyped, and they're going to lose at the end.
Yeah, the Cubs are a big story because of Wrigley and the futility. You know, I know they won it a few years ago, but the Cubs are all about Wrigley, Harry Caray, and futility, and why they're such a big brand. So interesting stuff.
Right, folks, put the Red Sox above Cubs.
By the way, the Red Sox would certainly be on the list. You're exactly right. Folks, that's our program. Thanks for being part of it. Don't go anywhere, though. Rick Belugo's Into the Night right now. We're out of here. Tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel. We'll go through sort of a mock of sorts for us, where Hayes and I will go through the list where we think this thing might land team by team. Just to give you an idea, our last show together before draft day on Thursday. We're out of here. For Hayes and JJ, I'm Frank Frangie. So long.